Welcome to St. Augustine this evening as Pete Melfi, the owner of the 904 Now, which I encourage you to download if you haven't already, refers to this as the Mike Davis Show, and we don't argue with Pete.
We don't.
We just do not argue with Pete. I have my sometimes occasional Wednesday guest here. Dylan, welcome back.
Thank you, sir.
This is not Commissioner Dean.
That is not Commissioner Dean.
It's not Commissioner Dean.
It is not.
Because Christian Whitehurst with us today, county commissioner since 2020, right? 2020. And Christian, I have been promised for 6 months that Dylan was bringing Commissioner Dean on. Last week, we had a picture of Mr. Snuffleupagus to make sure that Dylan knew what Commissioner Dean looked like. And but we're very glad to have you here. It's your first time you and I've done a show together.
Correct.
And you've done several with Troy and Pete before. So welcome and looking forward to it. And Dylan, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome back. I got a couple quick reads to do, and then we got a ton of business. You guys were deep into county business before we started.
We were.
I was learning stuff that I didn't even know.
See there? All fixing right. The world before you know it.
Just stick with us. We're going to learn a lot of things today. All right. Hebert Kresge & Associates, they're a full-service CPA firm with a team of skilled professionals dedicated to providing top levels of service in the areas of tax compliance, planning for businesses, individuals, estates, and trusts. They also can do audits, reviews, and other accounting services. If you need a business evaluation, they can do that. They also will do forensic analysis. And if you need litigation support, they're there for you. You can reach them at 904-460-0747 or get them online at HebertKresgeCPA.com. Great long-term sponsors. Billy and his crew do an amazing job. They do the taxes for all kinds of great people.
That's right. Probably you too.
They do. They do some for me as well. They certainly do. Salomon Services. Salomon Services opened their new facility a couple years ago. They want everyone to know if you've got kids in athletics, whether it's middle school, high school, or college sports, during the summer, they run a special training program for those kids. Middle school is 4 to 5 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. High school's 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and college kids are 8 to 9 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday because they don't get up before 2 o'clock. So those college kids can roll in around lunchtime for them, which is 8 p.m. But they do a great job getting everyone ready for the next season. So if your kids want to improve their sports
agility,
strength training, speed and quickness, all of those things, Salomon Services will help you do it. They got a brand new facility over off of 207. So go see them. And I will tell you that my kids all got involved in that at an early age. And every kid that was younger started earlier with Sal.
And they beat you in basketball every time, too.
Well, eventually they did because they were taller and quicker than me. And I lost the ability to jump. Losing the ability to jump in basketball is a difficult
thing. It's a game changer.
It is. And not that I had a huge vertical leap to begin with. So
that's okay.
I know. It was bad. I did beat one of my sons when he was in high school one time. He kicked the ball so far, I don't think it has landed.
It's
he
still
was
gone.
Still mad about it. He was still mad.
It's still orbiting.
It's nice that he was competitive, and so was I, because I wasn't going to let him win.
You were going to let him win.
Just kept backing him down, baby. I had weight.
Charles Barkley, then.
I did Charles Barkley. I round-mounded and rebounded him. All right, so Christian, welcome. You ran for commissioner. How's it been being on the commission? It's been a nice little run here, but what do you think so far?
So far, about a year and a half in, mm-hmm. I feel like the little girl in The Exorcist, where my head is just spinning on my shoulders all the time. I'm trying to keep up with a lot of things. Uh-huh. You run for an office like this because you want to make a positive impact, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody runs for county commissioner. Yep. I mean, you can't pick county commissioners out of a lineup. If you talk mm-hmm. to the general public, you hope that you're making a positive change in the community that you live in, that you love living in. And then you get in office and you realize that the state has preempted you on about half the things that you wanted to accomplish. And the other half are complex challenges mm-hmm. with only complex solutions that are on the table. Yep. And no matter what decisions you make, you're going to alienate about half of the people. So you basically have to be able to look yourself in the mirror at the end of the day and determine, did I do the thing that I think is best for the future of St. John's County? That's the job.
Well, and you are a small business owner.
I am.
I did a little research on you. Dylan, did you know that he got his job, which eventually became his business, because his dad said, if you don't get a job after football season, you'll lose your truck.
And
up.
That's exactly right.
I research, buddy. I'm a research guy here.
I'm impressed.
I have your files under lock and key.
We can't do mine on Facebook.
No, we can't do yours on Facebook. We cannot. It's okay. I've taken care of that. But yeah, I thought that was really a neat story where your dad said, hey, you got to go get a job. And you end up at a jewelry store at the Avenues, right? And end up buying that later on and then opening one at the town center. It's just an amazing story.
Well, I'm very blessed. As you know, I believe God has had his hand on my life and all things that I've done. And it's one of those things where I moved over here from Tallahassee. I was angry, a bunch of teenage angst. I left all the kids I grew up with and I didn't want to be here. And then I fall into this retail job after football season. Mm-hmm. The agreement was I was going to go get a job. It's a jewelry repair kiosk at the Avenues Mall. So I get out of Nice, go drive up to the Avenues Mall, start filling out applications. This guy makes, I think, a huge mistake. He hired this arrogant 17-year-old who just left football season. I had all these things on my mind. And 6 years later, I was able to buy the store.
Now, when you played,
it was a tremendous blessing.
When you played there, where was Tebow in your years?
Before Tebow was a freshman about 4 years after I graduated.
Okay, I was trying to remember, that's right, because I was trying to remember when Florida won. I had a friend I was coaching Little League with, and his son was a quarterback at the high school, and he came in Saturday just exhausted. He had done the lines at the Nice St. Augustine High game, Tebow's freshman year, almost 1,000 yards of offense.
Wow.
He said he was so done in that field. But so how was Nice when you were there? It's a football program.
So the year before I got there, they were 2-8.
Okay.
So I came in, we had a brand new football coach. Some people may know Jake Kimball, great guy. He was a fantastic football coach the year that I was there. I came from a school, Lincoln High School, that put a bunch of guys into D1 football.
Yes.
I mean, they're one of Nike's top 50 high school football programs in the country. They have a bunch of guys that you've heard of. And I came over to Nice and we had Jeff Whitaker. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic athlete. We had Jay Harris, tremendous running back. And then a lot of guys who worked out hard, who tried hard, and probably weren't going to play football at the next level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was just a different environment than I was used to in Tallahassee. And we went 5-5. I think we did, we won some games that people didn't expect us to win that year.
Listen, I'm a St. Joe alum. We've had really good teams, and we've had teams with 11 players. Right.
You're playing offense and defense.
You're on all the special teams, too. Every special teams, yeah. So I get that. Working hard, not going anywhere. I mean, I fully get that from a – yes. Yeah, we had some rough time. So what's the biggest difference? I mean, when I kind of ran for office, for me, I thought politics was easier than running a business. I thought running a business was a lot harder than being in politics. And some people, well, how can you say that? I said, well, because there's a lot of things that people are depending on from a business standpoint. And politically, you're making decisions, but it wasn't down on a personal level like an employee level.
I do get frustrated having been in the private sector, especially when you run a small business. Yep. If you want something done, you just do it, right? And I've found that government is set up in a way that everything moves slowly. And you guys are well acquainted with that. I was new to that idea. We have a problem. Do we have the money to fix it? If we do, let's fix it today. Let's get out there. Let's widen the roads. Let's clean the ditches. That's not the way it works, unfortunately. And, I pound the table. I get frustrated. You still have to work through the governmental processes that are in place. And there's a learning curve associated with that.
And we're growing as a county, so our county government's going to get bigger. So the bureaucracy is going to get a lot, just the nature of it. To me, the agencies that I've dealt with, the bigger the bureaucracy, usually the harder it is to get something done because there's more roadblocks in your way. Right. And you're right. As a small business owner, if we want to pivot, we can walk in tomorrow and go, hey, we're headed that direction.
Right.
And everybody's like, okay, we'll do that. But if you do that in government, like, no, you didn't see the forms you have to fill out.
That's right.
We got to have a meeting and we got to hire a consultant and then we can have more meetings about the consultant. And by the time you get to what the solution is, that's not the problem anymore.
No, it's something else.
It's a different problem now. So,
or it's 50% more expensive, as we've seen recently.
That's right. Right? Well, and that's the thing. I mean, even at the beach, Mike, I mean, I think, Christian, you said it perfect, is that the minutia that you have to go through in government, if I said tomorrow, hey, we need to pave, A1A, and they're like, oh, that's great. Well, we have to do a public notice. We have to do this. And then 8 months later, they're like, okay, I think next month we have a hearing on that, a final hearing. So then a year later, you're paving it.
Well, don't forget you have an environmental study.
And you have the environmental studies. I mean, all that stuff. And so it is frustrating even being a small business owner because you're right. Tomorrow I can make that decision and say we're going left and everybody's going left or we're going right and everybody's going right.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's challenging. And I can only imagine at the county level how much more is on your plate because the county's so big.
And what's the budget this year? Brandon was in yesterday, Patty, the clerk, and we were talking about that. And I can't remember his. It was a huge number. I mean, it was the number as a St. John's County resident. I'm like, I didn't realize our budget was that big right now.
I think it's in the billions, isn't it?
Well, I've heard. So we're having our first look at the budget next week.
You're getting a preview.
Administrator's budget workshop next week. The rumor I've heard, it's going to be in the neighborhood of $1.4 billion.
That's what I thought.
That's about
people need to understand, and I got to get this out just to address the misinformation. We don't control $1.4 billion of the budget. We're going to see in the general fund, which is what we control, about $450 million of that we can use to pave roads and fund the sheriff's department and clean out ditches and ball fields, all the maintenance.
So, because some of his money was strings attached or federal money that is running through the county, and you don't have, you can't say, well, that's coming earmarked for X and we're going to spend it on Y.
Right, that would be illegal. Yeah. So
right.
A large portion of that budget, the $1.4 billion, goes to the school district.
Right.
Yeah. You say that it's illegal. I think some states don't understand that. I know Florida does, but I'm not sure every state understands that. So
Louisiana.
I was going to go California, New York, Illinois, which is almost bankrupt. Yeah, I was going to kind of hit those. But, you know, if you want to pick on the southern states.
All the states where people are fleeing to Florida.
Florida, that's right.
Right, they're leaving there, coming here.
They're not just fleeing here. There was an article today I read. The Portuguese are rioting in the streets and protesting because there's too many Californians that have located to Portugal.
Are you serious?
And they're ruining their quality of life.
Wow.
Yes, California has now spread to ruining Europe.
Wow.
I'll tell you.
So you're going to see the don't California my Europe.
Yes, don't California my Portugal shirts.
My Portugal shirts.
On sale on the 904 now.
That'll be a hot seller. You got to make that
happen. Will be a huge seller. Pete, you need a new billboard.
It's time for a new billboard. Dress them up as a Portuguese person and have it all.
Well, I called Pete earlier this week because there was a U.S. News and World Report article is the 150 top places, cities to live in the United States. And every time those numbers come out, you're like, oh, no, please. Please, not St. John's County.
Right.
Please, not St. Augustine. No.
Right.
Baltimore.
Okay.
Was on that list. San Antonio was on that list, which I don't think is a very good. There were Huntsville, Alabama was the number one.
Was it really?
Huntsville, Alabama. I called Pete and I said, we didn't make a list. We're not in the top 150. Flint, Michigan
was
on the list and beat
us.
Jacksonville was 24.
Okay.
Which I can we're contributing to Jacksonville.
Well, and I think people look at Jacksonville as St. John's County, which rubs me wrong.
Yes.
But I think it's regional, right? So they're just like, oh, well, Jacksonville's the big city. So let's just say Jacksonville, just like they say the TPC, Jacksonville, Florida. Yeah. No, that's St. John's County, Florida.
So I think you said that people look at St. John's as though it's part of Jacksonville.
No. But that's what they do.
Yeah.
They do. So when you see, anytime I see Jacksonville, I'm like, oh, that's St. Augustine.
Mm-hmm. I think we probably pulled that, right?
100%.
But when I see Flint, Michigan on that list, I'm like, how can Flint, Michigan?
I wouldn't want to go to Michigan. Which
apparently did not have a water system a few years ago.
Right? Yeah, people are dying drinking the water.
It's in the top 150. What are the other cities like around the country that are big cities? If San Antonio, Flint, and Baltimore make it.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like, no.
I feel like every year Flint, Michigan is the subject of a new documentary for how bad things are in America. You know, it's like the focus of that. But they're in the top 150.
They're in the top 150.
That things are getting better for those folks.
That's right. Don't drink the water.
I blame Michael Moore. He's from Michigan. He should have fixed it. Yeah, if you're the big Michigan guy, you're always wearing your Michigan hat. Fix it. You got enough money. Fix it.
He should be more compassionate.
I think he should be more compassionate.
Sell one of his 10 houses. I think he could feed some people.
Feed them.
All right. So what? Speaking of growth, it's one of your hot topic issues. So what's the update on growth in St. John's County? I know from a building permit side, we set a record last year, more single family residence permits in St. John's County than in Duval County. And we currently are slightly ahead of Duval County again this year, which is just an amazing number. So what do you got for us growth wise?
Well, I put together a presentation that I did for the Young Republicans. This was after we voted for Silverleaf the first time, because I was getting so much public engagement and feedback. Why? How could you vote for this? Why would you vote for this? And it's one of these things where, you know, Ben Shapiro is one of my favorite talking heads, okay? Political pundits, whatever you want to call him. He says something that sort of resonates with me, facts over feelings. And so what I find is that I'm out there constantly confronted with misinformation, telling people I'd be angry if that were true, but it's not. So let me kind of connect you with some facts. And part of my presentation to the YRs was basically trying to help people connect the dots that, you know, when my dad was born in the 50s, there was 2.5 billion people on the planet. And next year, we're going to pass the 8 billion mark. The global population spills into the country, and then terrible policies in all these blue states that you were referencing mm-hmm. forces people into the free state of Florida. And we happen to have the number one school district in that state. That's why there's growth. So this notion that, you know, we're moving pieces of the same pie around and we're moving them from other places into our backyard is simply not the case. I can't tell you how many people that I went to school with at Nice who have now grown up. They went off to college. They work in Jacksonville. They maybe work in a different area. They work from home, but they wanted to raise their kids in the place where they grew up because they loved it so much. It's not all growth from New York, Illinois, California coming here. A lot of it's homegrown. Mm-hmm. And because we have more people on the planet in our country and in our state, it's illogical to believe that we would be insulated from any growth.
Well, Mike Rubin was the construction manager for St. John County for a long time. And 20 some years ago, we were having a discussion about growth. And Mike Rubin said, Florida's like a funnel. It's going to fill up from the bottom to the top. And that's exactly literally what has happened. I mean, South Florida, then Central Florida, and now that growth has hit North Florida. And obviously, we're in a great position. We've got the ocean, the intercoastal, and the river, right? We're very fortunate to have that much waterfront property. And, you know, I think we're really lucky because St. John's County attracts a more affluent retiree than, say, a Flagler County or some of the counties in the center of the state. And because of that, we're able to do more things.
I will tell you, though, I drove through Flagler County the other day. I had to go south. And the growth down there, it's keeping pace with us here because it's a cheaper entry point, right? You mm-hmm. can still find lots on the intracoastal in Flagler County for under $300,000.
Wow.
I mean, and you think about that, you're like, man, you can't find a lot in St. John's County inland for under $300,000.
You can't find anything on the island for $300,000.
You can't find anything. So here's a house or a lot on the intracoastal, mm-hmm. direct access, has a dock built on it for under $300,000.
Maybe that's the billboard Pete needs.
You know?
You didn't go far enough south.
You didn't go far enough south.
Flagler County is cheap.
But you're right, Mike, is that at some point, I think even yesterday, and I sat through the commission meeting, is that even some of the speakers were like, well, we moved from Miami. So from your point, mm-hmm. funneling from the south, because mm-hmm. that's just what it is. And there's the entire state, 865 people a day last year mm-hmm. moved to the state of Florida. 865 people a day. That's the size of Orlando in 1 year. Mm-hmm. In 1 year. So when you say, man, Florida 20 years ago had, you know, 12 million people, 13 million people, we were like third, fourth state on the list. I mean, it's forget about it. I mean, the 2020 census, I believe even in St. John's County, because of COVID, no one went door to door. People really didn't fill it out because they don't fill it out anyways. Mm-hmm. I guarantee St. John's County is over 300,000 people now.
It is.
There's no question.
Every number I've seen.
Only shows 275 through the census. So imagine what the state of Florida looks like.
Well, because the census was in early 2020.
That's what I'm saying. It was.
Right? And all the insanity happened shortly after the census was over.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, if they had conducted the census in 2021,
oh my God,
you would have lost another rep out of California and New York easily.
And that's what I'm saying. So it's the entire state is mm-hmm. going through this incredible growth.
Yep.
And it's because we are the freest state in the country, mm-hmm. and people want to come. Taxes are low. You know, there is no state income tax.
Yeah.
Quality of life. I mean, I think we're onto something here, folks.
We are, and Brandon and I talked about this yesterday. So if you listened yesterday, you were here a little bit again, but I talked about how close we were to not having that, mm-hmm. right? So DeSantis wins a close gubernatorial race. If Gillum had won, he would immediately have been vaulted towards the upper echelon of Democrat potentials for 2020, right? And a VP candidate. So how do you compete against Newsom? How do you compete against Cuomo? How do you compete against Whitmer, right?
Right.
You have to have the most severe lockdown.
Right.
You have to be the state that proves that the other states aren't as
tough.
They're
not tough, yep.
And so Florida wouldn't have been a little less free. It would have been the state that we would have been going, hey, you guys want to move to California because Newsom's got freedom out there.
Right.
Right. And looking at what California rules were,
right,
Florida would have been worse. It wouldn't have been just a little bit. It would have been, I have to compete on a national level. So how do I prove I'm compassionate? I got to lock everything down.
That's a good point.
We were damn lucky, right? I mean, we were just incredibly lucky that DeSantis won that race and has done just a phenomenal job.
He has.
So we're within a hand recount of losing the freedoms.
Correct.
That we've enjoyed these past 2 years.
Correct.
It's scary to think about it.
But yeah. That's a good point, though, to bring that up, because I think people lose track of that. And that's why the influx of people in 2021, 2022, I personally don't see it slowing down for a couple of years. It will level off at some point, and depending on how inflation goes, depending if we hit a little bit of a recession of some mm-hmm. point, which I think we will.
Yep.
But I don't think it's going to be as hard in Florida as other states. I think the New Yorks, the Californias, the Michigans, the Pennsylvanias, they're going to feel it a lot more, because I think we have better policies, better leadership that are allowing us to weather the storm, for lack of better terms.
Well, I hope that's true. The last downturn, we got hit especially hard in the construction and development industry, right? And we're not in, my company's not in development, we just do construction. But the problem was we were overbuilt, right? Our problem now is not that we're overbuilt, it's that we're underbuilt, right? We don't have the inventory. My fear is that we do have that recession and it slows down. And then when it slows down, we don't build again for a couple of years. Well, all that does is force the price of everything that's existing higher, which makes it even more out of reach for that first time home buyer or the workforce housing. And so I really truly worry about that recession could be devastating and a hard one to kind of recover from. Because we don't, I mean, it's as much as we all want affordable housing in St. John's County, I think the average price now $550
or $540 or something
crazy. Yeah, it's some crazy number.
Just over $550.
Yeah. Today. Which is crazy. Like, you look at it, because I think last year it was like $4 and change. Mm-hmm. So it's gone up that much. But I think, you know, and Christian, you can talk more about it, but I think the county realizes it and they're now starting to figure out, okay, we need some affordable housing. How do we do it? I wouldn't be surprised at some point that some sort of housing authority for affordable housing takes place. So then you all can really study it and see what happens.
We do have a board, a volunteer board, where residents can serve. It's the Affordable Housing Committee. But again, difficult challenge, only complex solutions with the cost of land being so high, with mm-hmm. our impact fees being as high as they are to mitigate for the impact of the growth. It's difficult. We're having a hard time finding builders to build this product. We have a workforce housing zoning designation, but you have to build 40% of that product at 240 or less. And we're having builders say, well, we can't afford to build it at 240. That's difficult when you have firefighters, sheriff's deputies, nurses and teachers who serve so bravely and serve so wonderfully here in St. John's County, and they can't afford to live in the county where they serve. It was a problem when I was sworn in, but now it's a full-blown crisis. And so we're trying to work with the private sector, because again, private sector does things best, in my opinion. We're going to have to incorporate some of their best practices into solving this problem. Jimmy Peluso from Vistar, he's their governmental affairs contact, he has explained to me that there's now a product that Vistar is offering that only requires 2% down on a home if you're a first responder. So this is just the beginning, I think, of what we're going to see from the private sector trying to help us tackle the workforce housing crisis in St. John's County.
Well, I think to add to that, I think it's going to be a private-public partnership, or public-private partnership, however you want to explain it. Because I think at some point the county owns land, and I think that they would be smart to have a low income or a affordable housing developer come in, team up. The county's like, here's the land. So now your entry fee is less, right? Because for a developer to make money, especially on multifamily, because it would have to be vertical. You couldn't do it as homes. They would have to be apartment style, condo style. But if you do a P3, you then take the land is free, right? And then the builder then takes it, because now you just knocked off 25, 35. I mean, right now we had lunch today and it was almost $50,000 a door to buy it for condos. And you can't make money on that. And that's why it's $550,000 as an entry level. But if you could do a P3 with the county, here's the land. Mr. Davis, here's the land. We would like for you to build 600 units. Well, then it's a different number. I think you can get that 240 down to the high ones, which then with the 2% down and stuff like that, I think it starts becoming attainable. And I think that's the only way we can do it in St. John's County.
I think it's going to take a very creative out-of-the-box solution. And so as long as material prices are where they're at,
yeah,
that's almost an impossible thing, right? Even with the free land.
It's still expensive.
It's still expensive. Material prices are, you know, sky high. We're doing projects now that we did 4 years ago that are three times what they were 4 years ago, right? I mean, you just, it's the numbers are staggering when you look at them. And so that impacts that entry level. The other, I was on one of the very, I think I was one of the inaugural members of the Affordable Housing Committee, right? And that's right out of college. At that time, there was a $10,000 grant that if you stayed in the house long enough, right, I think it was 5 years, it was forgiven. Right, $10,000 wouldn't touch
right
what you need today. And I'm sure it's higher and there's changes to that program. But I mean, if you're trying to buy an entry-level house and it's $300,000 and you need the 10% down or 20% down, that's a pretty big grant, right, which blows through those numbers. But we need home ownership with all of those workforce housing bills. And we don't need them driving back and forth between Putnam County and Flagler County.
Well, and I think with inflation, gas prices, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at some point we see $5 a gallon here in St. Johns County. And there's nothing we can do about it. And so
Clay, run outside real quick. I think it's at five now.
You think it's at five
it
now?
It was at 450 something this morning. My money's on five now.
Five now. And so
it's you know, it dropped 1,100 points today. So that can affect
that can affect it. And so you look at it, though, and it's like these people can't afford $4,000 or $5,000 a month in rent. And then an additional, because rents are through the roof, right? So you need eight people in the house to just, you know, charge them $500 a piece. Mm-hmm. But then you're going to have gas. And like you said, they're not going to drive from Putnam to St. John's or to Duval or to Volusia or Flagler because they can't afford the gas. So everything that they're bringing in is just going right back out.
Yeah, I can remember the last time we had an audit when gas prices did what they're doing now. The accountant that does the audit for Recall said, you really missed your budget on fuel this year. Like, yeah, we kind of did. And it's like you got 50% of it. I said, well, what happened to gas prices? He said, well, they were $2 a year ago, and now they're $4. I'm like, yeah, that's probably why we missed that budget, right? I mean, no, we just didn't have any idea it was going to be that bad. And
it's just, it makes everybody's stomach turn where these gas companies are still making billions of dollars in profits. Billions. And it's like, come on, people. You know, gas was low in 2020 for multiple reasons, but half of it was no one was driving. And then they're like, oh, we're just going to stop producing gas. And you're like, wait, no, keep producing it. We're not going to be in this forever. And especially in Florida, it was the end of 2020, beginning of 2021. We're wide open again.
Well, and one of the unintended consequences, too, is that FDOT has just tripled, not doubled, but tripled their cost estimates for building a road. Mm-hmm. As you know, oil is a major factor into asphalt.
Roads,
yeah. So, There are just ripple effects from the price of gas going up. It directly impacts the way that the county can address the infrastructure deficiencies that we have here in St. John's County.
If you wanted to pave a road, what's the cost of it now?
Well, we have, just to give you some perspective, so it depends on the facility. If you talk to transportation people, they call these roads facilities. So it depends on the type of facility you want to build. But we have a half-mile stretch on County Road 210, which is the most critically deficient roads, which we finally have the funding for.
Right.
But it's a half mile stretch, and because they have to bridge over a little wetland, it's going to cost $10.5 million
for a half mile.
For a half mile. So not every half mile costs $10.5 million, but you can see some of the challenges that we're faced with.
Right.
I mean, we have some of the lowest property taxes in the state of Florida,
right,
a state which has no income tax, something that you mentioned earlier. And we have a half mile stretch of road that needs to be widened. That's going to cost $10.5 million. Now let's bust out our calculators and then figure out how we fund the repairs to the roads. It's,
well,
it's more complicated and more expensive than I think people realize.
100%. You know, we just yesterday we did a survey at the beach, and one of the survey questions was, what would you like to see? And a lot of people are like, hey, can you fix the beach walkovers, get a little bit more access and stuff? So by the grace of God, the Port Authority gave us $335,000 yesterday to the beach as matching funds. And I'm like, thank you, because again, it's going to cost, I mean, for lumber, for stuff that's going to happen to redo those walkways, it's going to be a lot of money.
All right. So I'll take off my hat. I'll put my surfer hat on for a while. Some of those walkways need to be fixed before somebody gets hurt.
No, they have to be
fixed. Some of those walkways are
They're terrible shape. Yeah,
they're not.
But we just got the funding. So what's great, we're going to use some of the ARPA funds and use it as matching towards the money from the port and waterway, because that's part of their funding, says it's for beach access, port access, stuff like that, anything dealing with water. So, you know, I was sitting there talking to Mr. Tredick and Max Royal at our, and I was like, ask them for money. They gave us $335,000.
So that'll probably do two walkovers.
Two walkovers. I'm just, that's right. One and a half. For every 8 feet. Well,
everything has gone up. I mean, lumber's gone up and labor has gone up. I mean, you can't find people. I mean, that's one of our biggest problems. And I don't know what your business is like. You're a very special industry. So I would imagine finding someone that does jewelry, watch repair, and those things is difficult to do, right?
If you want to find a jeweler,
yeah,
forget about it. I mean, this ain't the Diamond District in New York, okay? Right. Good luck finding somebody who has the skills to do what I need them to do to satisfy my customers' requests. But even just hiring somebody who will smile and be nice to my customers walking through the door, it's never been as challenging. Now, I'm blessed. Mm-hmm. I have a fantastic staff. They do a great job. But when somebody goes, as they do in retail, finding the next smiling face who will do the job the way I need them to do the job, it's not easy. It's never been this difficult for me.
That's why Mike does construction. You're going to have to smile at people.
Yeah, we do. Well, our problem is where we're at.
Right.
Right? So if we're working in the hospital, you tell all your people, you smile at everyone, you say hello to everyone when they walk by, and if someone's lost trying to find a department and you know where it is, you stop doing your job and you take them to that department. We don't work for the hospital, but we're a representation of the hospital when we're in the hospital, right? When you're at a school, you will make no eye contact and you will do your job and you will not do it. You will not talk to
anybody.
Anyone. No. No one will you talk to. And so it's a very different where you're at.
It is.
And then, you know, we get blessed. We get a lot of jobs around the middle of nowhere. You go to work super early and you don't run into anybody and you get home early and it's a lot. And then every once in a while we're in a condo.
Right.
Now we're going to make everybody around us in the condo miserable for as long as we're doing work. And that's not the intent, but that's just the
nature of the beast.
It's just the nature of the beast. I mean, I had a guy that built the house next to me in the 90s and he was doing it himself and it took him like 2 years and he was working nights and weekends. I just went over and said, hey, when it's dark, can you shut it down? We're trying to put the kids to bed. They were little at the time. One of my neighbors like, we got to go over there and tell him to stop working on the weekends. I'm tired of sitting at my pool and him making noise. I'm like, do you know what I do during the week?
Right.
I do that. Right. If I go over there and tell him to stop, I'm just a hypocrite.
Right.
You are more than welcome, but I cannot go.
I'm not doing that.
Because that's what I do. It's no good.
Well, you got to swing that hammer. You got to hit that
We got to make noise. It's just what we have to do.
It's, you know, and you're right. In the schools, it's almost better now to do overnights in schools, right? Is to work from, 5 o'clock in the evening till 5 o'clock in the morning and just clean up so you're not dealing with the potential of things that could happen.
Well, and you mentioned the schools and construction costs, right? So I think St. John's County School System has put off building one of their schools because the cost is so high right now.
Well, I want to address that because I heard that they put it off. They were trying to expedite it because of the growth, because of the urgent need that we have in the northwest part of the county. Mm-hmm. I had people say, well, now that they're not going to build the school, they're now going to build it when they were planning on building it. And actually, they're going to build two schools, but they won't be open until the fall of 24. They were trying to push this construction company to get it open by the fall of 23, just because we have the need that is so urgent. And they're just unable to get it open by 23 without it being cost prohibitive. So,
you can't get the material. I mean, I'm going to just flat out tell you, right?
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
So, you talk to electricians and the large electric panels, right? So I've got a buddy that works in healthcare as an electrician, and they can get panel A, right?
Right.
But they can't get panel A for 12 months.
Right.
So they say, go to the supplier. Well, we'll do panel B. We can get panel B in 6 months. Okay, awesome, great. We'll get that approved by the engineer. Call the supply house back. And the supply house says, we have a problem with panel B. Well, you told me I can get it in 6 months. I can get you the panel, but the breakers that go in that one aren't available for 14 months.
Right.
It's like, well, we've gone backwards, So there's so many holdups that are in there, and the larger the project, the bigger AC. We did a project downtown. It was a renovation of a building turned into a school. We ordered the AC equipment in January of this year. It was last year. So we could get it by August.
Of last year. So it took 8 months.
Right? And it was like, okay, can we get it in time to have everything we need to have? And some of it showed up in 8 months and some of it showed up a month and a half later.
Well, then you also have to think, like, go back to the school, what you were saying. Is it one of those things where it's like, hey, we will do it. And what we're going to do is we're just going to take from school B their stuff. And we're going to tell school B, hey, your cost is going to be a little bit less because we're going to take that and move it kind of you know, move the parts around to make things speed up. And so there's got to be a premium, right? If you want it done tomorrow, I can get it done tomorrow, but you're going to pay whatever I tell you you're going to pay.
Obviously, I'm not on the school board. I don't know the specific challenges, but that's what I'm told is that it was basically like that. Yes, we can get this done. Here's the price.
It's what's going
to
cost you.
And the school board had to say, they didn't want to say, but they had to say, no.
Correct.
We can't do that. We're going to open two schools in 24 as opposed to the school we desperately need in 23.
Yeah, makes sense.
Again, not an easy decision to make, but that's what had to be done. It was the right
move. Right decision.
Correct.
So I have a question. Your scarcity issue as a realtor is you don't have enough properties to sell.
Correct.
You got plenty of buyers and not enough properties. Mine is material and employees. You mentioned employees, but what material can you not get as a jeweler that you used to be able to just pick up the phone and get? Man, is there anything out there? You guys,
I'm good.
You're good.
Gold, silver, diamonds. You come to Fast Fix at the town center, we got it. Yeah, that's right.
It's going to cost you if you want it today.
Unfortunately, the price of gold is up.
It's up. It's,
you know, there's nothing I can do about that.
It is.
But you want it, we got it.
Industry. There's two people I know that don't have a problem.
Right.
Jewelers and liquor stores.
Right.
Well, I will say this. The manufacturers for some of the necklaces, the chains, they are running behind.
Watches.
The material we have, but just the manufacturers are running behind.
That makes sense.
Right. So growth in the guys, the Silverleaf issue came up. You and Dylan were talking before, was voted on back in December.
So we heard it once in July for transmittal.
Okay.
It passed 5-0 at transmittal. All five commissioners, Jeb Smith was on the board at the time, passed 5-0, came back in December for adoption.
Mm-hmm.
So it went through state review, came back for adoption. We voted on it. Now the question of DEO was raised at the time. Our attorney at the county, the applicant's attorney, did a deep dive. They both advised us, yes, this isn't going to be a problem because DEO doesn't have a lot to do with development. Vote on it.
And what is DEO?
The Department of Economic Opportunity.
Okay.
So typically they don't, you know, weigh in very heavily on development. Mm-hmm. That's not really their bailiwick. We voted, passed 4-1, Commissioner Waldron dissenting. And then we get the note from DEO about a month and a half later. You're going to have to hear this one again. So the wheels start churning again, overcoming misinformation. Oh, the state rejected the application. The state rejected the development. Of course, that was never true. Mm-hmm. It was purely process. And so it came before us yesterday at our May 17th meeting. We heard it. It passed again 4-1 with Commissioner Waldron dissenting.
And there was no changes either from what the Department of Economic, there was nothing changed from what you sent them. From July to December, from December to May.
Zero comment, zero feedback, zero changes requested from DEO. So now we voted on it three times, 504141.
Mm-hmm.
Silverleaf, the addition to Silverleaf, the 5,600 homes, is coming online. But what most people need to understand is much of that project won't begin construction until 2030. And why that's significant is because the First Coast Expressway is due to come online and be complete and come through St. John's County, which will take a lot of that traffic pressure off of the roads. So the part of Silverleaf that we approved yesterday, much of that will not come online until 2030. So it's not like the traffic will be spilling over into other neighborhoods. Much of the traffic will pour onto these roadways that are already built up front by the developer. And so again, for a lot of reasons, it's the best project I've ever seen come before me in terms of upfront infrastructure, park space, consideration of the environment.
And that the other one we talked about, I talked with both Hunter and I think Brandon and I talked a little bit about it yesterday, 313, which is a state road, right? They've got the tie-in at US 1 North. They've got to do, I don't know if they've even done all the land acquisition or not. I think once that road's done, that changes the traffic in St. Augustine.
It's needed. And it's needed soon because no one ever thought that Florida would grow as fast as it's grown. And I drove down to the Florida Keys 2 weeks ago. The traffic down there, be thankful what we have here because it's a disaster. And they've got parkways, I-95, this toll road, that toll road, and every single one of them were bumper to bumper. Mm-hmm. And you think about the Keys. You go down, that's only a two-lane road. They can't make it. I mean, there's some stretches down to the Keys where it's four lanes, but it is what it is. I mean, and I can say, I remember going to Key West as a kid, going over the original 7 mile bridge where the top of the bridge, instead of going up a drawbridge, it went to the side.
Mm-hmm.
Those were two lanes. You'd have to pull your mirrors in to go past the motorhome because it was so close together. But unfortunately, we're not there anymore.
Yeah.
You know, but it's the entire state. The entire state.
You used to be able to get to the Keys to get away from people. It's supposed to be relaxing. And again,
it's not like that anymore.
Florida's just, it just doesn't exist.
Yep, I agree.
I go to South Florida to go surfing during the wintertime. It's on the weekends. It's like, I'm trying to get in and out of
Reef Road
as quick as I possibly can.
Do you do Reef Road?
We don't. We have a, we didn't go that far south last time.
Okay.
We had some friends that had a place to stay, but I, you know, fortunately they were like four blocks from the beach.
Okay.
So you could park and walk. And I'm looking, there's zero parking along the road, right? There's all these condos and apartment buildings that are on the beach. So access to the beach is almost zero compared to what we have up here.
Right.
Even though the walkways do need to be fixed, Commissioner.
Now, help me settle a bit. When you're down there in the wintertime specifically, do you hear more Southern accents or New York accents?
Well, we're surfing with a couple of guys. So it's usually the guys you go with. So we don't hang around. I mean, we'll get up at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m, drive down there, be there and surf from, you know, dawn until noon, grab a bite to eat and be back at 5 o'clock at night. I mean, it's a strike mission down and back.
Smart.
To catch waves. So we're not hanging around. In fact, whenever we leave, we're always like, yeah, there's a lot more traffic now than there was this morning.
It's, you know, 10 years ago, Miami was always full of traffic. It's terrible. And not only that, but, you know, we ate at a restaurant downtown Miami, actually towards Coral Gables. It's $25 to park in their lot for the restaurant. It's like, what? Like, we have it so good up here that we don't even realize it. Just spend a day and a half down south, and you'll say, yeah, it's a pain up here, but you know what? It's not Miami. It's not Fort Lauderdale, Boca, all that. We are lucky to be where we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I completely agree. That's why I haven't moved, right? I mean, I love, and I'm lucky. I mean, I'm on the island, so we get the island.
Yep.
We get all the stuff that's going on there. We do have to deal, you know, I love the amphitheater.
Yep.
But they are, darn it, they are making up for 2020.
It's busy.
They are flat out making up for 20. I don't know what you guys told them had to pay on the bond this year, but they're going to make it.
100%.
In May, they're going to make it. And we joke about that, but I'm happy that they're doing extremely well. I mean, that's a venue that's great, and I'm thrilled to death that they're doing good.
It's the number two outdoor venue in the country, only second to Red Rocks out in Colorado.
Isn't that crazy?
Gabe Pellissier and his staff are knocking it out of the park every day.
Yeah. And what's cool about it, too, is that there's still that community aspect of it. Graduations are there, record fairs. So it's still very much a public venue. Even though it's a ticketed event for some things, there's a lot of things that are still kept into the public, which is fantastic because you go to a AEG or a Live Nation or some conglomerate that would come in and want it because, trust me, they want that amphitheater. They're salivating to take it over because they know what the revenue could be and what they, but you would lose 100% of all that. And it's like, wait a minute. No, we need to keep it right here. We're doing a great job. Let's just keep maintaining it.
Like, and we talk about the venue at night, right? The farmer's market on Saturday.
Correct.
Is its own traffic jam.
It is.
Thank goodness it is. And I'm glad that we have it. But that's a Saturday. I mean, that's Saturday midday. That's a
every Saturday. Yeah. Every Saturday. I mean, you would think there's a concert going on with the people going there, which is great. Because, again, you get somebody coming in, some big corporate company. Bye-bye Saturday market. That's gone. Because it costs money and they don't want to do it. But as a community event, it's fantastic. I mean, you think about some of the cool cities that have that. Mm-hmm. It's cool to have it here at the beach.
Yeah, you guys just sparked a thought, and I'll be as brief as I can, but think of the problems that we have here in St. John's County.
Yeah.
We have too many things that people want to come do. We have a place that too many people want to live. We have the number one school district. We have all this coastline and waterfront.
Yeah.
It is a challenge, and we have to do the things to mitigate the growth. There's no question about it. I think our board is doing that. Boy, I'd rather have our problems than some of the other problems that you're seeing around this country.
Yeah, you mentioned a couple of northern states,
right?
And so to me, you either have communities that are growing, which we are, or you have communities that are dying.
Right.
So if you went to the Midwest that had all those factories that got moved out and you had a town that had two or three factories in it in the, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and now they're gone, that town's having to reinvent itself.
Right.
Right. And until COVID came along and people realized, hey, it's cool to be in a small town again. I don't have all of the people around me in a big city.
Right.
I don't have crime. I don't have all these issues. I mean, I think we've reached peak big city in 2020.
Right.
And you're seeing all these, you know, people wanting to get out into smaller communities where there's outdoor activities, where they have good internet access, they've got good schools for their kids. And St. John's County checks all those boxes in Florida. And I know there's people moving all over the state, but that's part of the reason that we're filling up as fast as we're filling up.
Well, and I tell people every time, being a generational Floridian, is that Florida is the only state in the entire country that the further north you go, the further south it becomes.
Yes. Except I will give you the one exception to your rule.
What's that?
When you go to Daytona, you're getting closer to New York.
But the further north.
When we go south from here to work,
right,
it's not southern work. When we go to Clay County, it's like St. Augustine, St. John's County it was 30 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, and that's going to change too, by the way.
Yeah.
Clay's got a renaissance coming to him. Yeah.
And I think Palatka's getting ready to take
off. Palatka's going to take off too.
Palatka's getting ready to be, you're going to get that hospital built out there on 207, 95, yep. right? Yep. And you're going to get all that stuff done. And they're going to have access to healthcare.
That's right.
And I don't know if you've been on 207 at 7 o'clock in the morning or at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
It's almost like 210.
It's almost like 210.
It's almost like 210.
It is almost like 210.
Seriously. And it never used to be. I mean, you could drive that road for days and you thought, man, it's kind of eerie. There's no traffic lights in front of me or behind me. You know,
am I in an episode of The Twilight Zone?
Exactly.
What's going to happen
next?
Because it was there really wasn't that much traffic along, but the traffic flow, and I'm assuming a lot of it is housing.
That's probably
people
right.
living out there off of 207 or out in Palatka and having to come to work here. But it's unbelievable the amount of traffic. I would tell you just one morning, get up and just go sit down there and watch the traffic.
And you got to believe too, like Flagler Estates. They're starting to develop a little bit more and stuff like that. So it's and to your credit early on, Mike, is that there are a lot of people who live in Putnam who work in St. John's.
Yeah.
And more people are living in Putnam now. And so that road is going to, I mean, it's the nature of the beast, unfortunately.
Yeah. I remember as a kid, it was a two lane road. It was a very dangerous two lane road. But it was a two lane road to get to Palatka and back. Right. And I can't imagine if it had not been four lane, what that traffic pattern would look like now. And I tell people, to me, the four lane road in St. John's County that's the most underutilized is from 207, where it hits US 1 to 312.
Right? That's probably right.
Because before 312 was cut through, everybody had to come up to US 1 to get on 207.
They did.
And once you had that cut through, right, from the beach, that section of road where St. Joe exits out on 207,
right.
when it was a two lane road, the kids leaving in the afternoon. Every day, I mean, you've just said prayers, right? I mean, you're praying the rosary, trying to cross the road.
Right?
It's like, okay, we're going to do two rosaries this day. And then when they went four lane before 312 was in, it was still pretty bad.
Right.
Now the kids are rolling out there texting and no one even notices the cars. Right. I mean, it's definitely less that stretch. That stretch right there is just, it's amazing how 312 cutting through changed that entire traffic pattern. And when 313 goes through, I think it's going to have the same impact on parts of US 1.
That's right.
From 207 north to where, you know, maybe up here to 16 or up to where it ties in. I think that road's going to be huge.
It's needed, and I'm glad it's moving forward.
Yeah. Although there are a few subdivisions that are not happy.
There are some subdivisions that are not happy.
Was it Trace? There's the one next to Publix.
Yeah, it comes out right next to it. Yeah.
They're on 16. So one of the other issues, hot topic for you, we haven't got to, is sales tax. Mm-hmm. So sales tax will be on the ballot. Which ballot is it? And Vicky's coming in here in a couple of weeks. Is it on the November one or is it on the primary ballot?
It'll be on the November 8th ballot.
Okay, good. All right. And that was what was that vote at the commission? Was it a 3-2, 4-1?
I believe it was 4-1 also.
I think it was a 4-1 also.
Okay.
I have a very simplistic view of my job, and that is basically to represent the people, not only in my district, but in St. John's County. I'm on everybody's ballot all over the county, and I have people coming to me day in, day out, through the inbox and my email, through phone calls and in community meetings, saying, "Commissioner," this is usually how it goes, "Commissioner, get off your rear end and go fix this," right?
Right.
We had people coming to the meeting and general public comment just yesterday.
Yeah.
We had somebody said, "You guys got to pay these sheriff's deputies more. You got to pay our firefighters more. It's hurting morale." I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have a dead man's curve on IGP. Right. People have lost their life. It's not really a laughing matter. It's a very serious issue. So we had somebody coming during general public comment. So out of one side of their mouth, they are demanding immediate action for these infrastructure deficiencies, immediate action to take care of our public safety officers. Mm-hmm. And then out of the other side of their mouth, they're saying, but I'm not voting for the sales tax. So I want to be very, very clear. I put the sales tax on the ballot on November 8th because it's important that we engage in this discussion about what our financial position is in St. John's County. I don't care if it passes. I don't care if it fails. People need to understand we don't have enough money to do all the things that they're demanding that we take care of today, mm-hmm. that we can address it in good time. But in the last 15 years, they've had two discounts on their property taxes. One was state mandated back in 2007 during the economic recession, which was, again, the right thing to do. But they rolled back our property tax by mandate by a full mill. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, coming out of COVID, there was a lot of economic uncertainty. I think the board wisely used the rollback rate. Mm-hmm. So you've had two property taxes in a county that already had very low property taxes. And Jesse Dunn, our OMB director, Office of Management and Budget, did a presentation on March 1st when the sales tax was on our agenda for discussion. Mm-hmm. And he sort of went step by step through how we got into this financial position with all these infrastructure deficiencies. There are a lot of low tax properties that have contributed to that. Mm-hmm. And so we can do whatever the people want to do, but we can't do it with the money that we currently have. So if they want to address the roads, the drainage, the ball fields, our public safety quicker, this is a funding mechanism to do that. If they don't, they don't want to pay another $100 for every $10,000 they spend at the store. If they don't want the tourists to pay for 40% of the sales tax, then they can vote no. I don't care. I'm not taking a position yes or no, but it's important they understand that we don't have the money to meet their requests with the money that we have today.
And I'll be curious to see what happens because it's been on the ballot in St. John's County before. It's been defeated before. I think it's been on twice. It's probably been 20 plus years since it was on the last time. So the first two times it was on, it was probably late 80s, early to mid 90s. The county was a much different county. It was a much smaller county. The population was less. You have a lot more people that have moved in here since that last vote. So I'll be really kind of curious to see what happens with that. Because it was almost at that time, you had people that were pushing that tax that were on at a political level, commissioners, and you had people that were just like, no, we're not paying anymore. We're not going to be Duval County. We're just not. That was the sentiment at the time. And the second time it came up, it was almost like, hey, we already told you we're not voting for this. So it's been a while. So I'll be very curious to see where that goes. And I think it's a very different electorate now than it was at that time.
I think for the beach, we looked at the numbers because we're about to start into our budget mm-hmm. season as well. And if the penny passes the sales tax, it will bring an additional $1.7 million to St. Augustine Beach, mm-hmm. which for our budget, that's life changing. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I'm with you where let the people vote. Either it's going to pass or it's going to fail. And either at the beach, we can do certain things or we can't do certain things and we'll get to it, but it won't be today. It may be 5, it may be 10 years, but we'll get to it. And because that's, again, going back to government, being on this side of the dais now, you look at it and I get frustrated sometimes because I want things to happen now because I'm used to now having being a business owner. If I wanted to make a decision, we do it. Mm-hmm. But when you're on the other side of the dais, it's like, man, I really want to do it, but I need to start today if I want to get it done by next year. And so I think that's the challenge that it's hard for people to understand is that that's what we go through day in and day out.
So, I'll give that the business versus government, right? So we're swamped right now in business, right? We're seeing a lot of volume and a lot of business, but a lot of the stuff that's happening to us won't show up in the government coffers as ad valorem taxes for probably 2 years,
right?
The houses and the commercial properties have to be finished. They have to be on the tax roll for an entire year, right?
They
have to be assessed again. So there's all of these things. I have heard that I think it's like a 15% increase in ad valorem tax this year, which is huge.
Right.
Right. And that's being driven by all of this inflation that we talked about earlier, right? Where the average price of a house has gone from $300 to $550,
right?
And you've had a tremendous amount of sales, right? Where before, when we hit that recession in 08, you had no sales. values were dropping like a rock.
Right.
Right. I mean, so it's a completely different thing. And then how long does that last? Right. And if I'm in your shoes as a government guy, I'm not budgeting off 15% every year.
You can't.
I mean,
it's
like,
not realistic.
Hey,
it's not.
What's the average? 2 to 3, we'll take that. And right. If we have excess, we'll deal with it.
That's
but
right.
I don't think you can budget off that year after year.
And not only that, but to your credit, again, it's not reoccurring.
Yeah.
So it may be one time, but then that's it. And then, so if you can't throw everything in the bucket for one time because you got to expect it to be 2-3%. So if you over budget, you know, it's like your own household. If you're like, hey, I make $50,000 a year, but mm-hmm. I want to spend 80, there's a problem.
Yeah.
And so you have to be cognizant about what you do.
I want to ask you guys, because when I talk to people, I try and remind them, you know, St. John's County's government doesn't get a penny from the sales tax.
Right.
And I find people get shocked when I tell them that. Obviously, 6% goes to Tallahassee. Mm-hmm. 0.5% goes to the school district.
Right.
And then we have to go hat in hand to Tallahassee and beg our representatives for some of that money back.
For some of the money back.
And this year we got a record, and I'm grateful to our legislative delegation. We got $54 million back. But you do the math. I mean, we sent $300 million through sales tax to Tallahassee. We got $54 million back. Do you think that most people understand that we don't collect anything as a local government from the sales tax?
No, and I think some of them just have the opinion, and I may be in this camp more often, is that I just don't want to pay any more for it, right? I get that.
Absolutely.
Right? And so,
sure.
Yeah, I've heard the argument over, well, tourists will pay 40% of it, right? And that is that's a number, but if you're a resident, you're going to pay more for everything, right? We don't get a discount. We all pay more for that.
Right.
Whether or not that's the time or not the time, I mean, I've been on different groups that have talked about, well, let's raise the penny. There was a discussion probably before the last recession of let's add this, and we'll use half of it for roads and we'll use half of it for parks. And that group was just starting to get off the ground when the economy went,
right, went flat.
And that ended that, right? Everybody's like, well, we're not talking about that anymore. So I see some advantages. My question is, the school board passed their tax. They collected more sales tax than what they thought, so they actually had to roll back the impact fee. Hmm. So is the county tied up in that same issue where if it collects more sales tax than it thought, will that roll back any other fees? Will that roll back a road impact fee or something like that? I was kind of shocked, and I think the school board was a little taken aback too, right? Hey, we're going to raise X amount of dollars. They exceeded that, which forced them to do a study and go, okay, we have to roll back some of what we're charging in the impact fee.
I think the way our board is currently comprised, the conservative nature of our county, mm-hmm. I think that if we were sitting around and we had an excess of money,
yep.
you would see us cutting fees, absolutely,
yeah.
In an effort to give the people back their money. That's why the rollback rate was used 2 years ago, because this board is a conservative board. They wanted to give the people back where it helps them most, and that is in their property taxes. So I'd be a proponent of that. If we found ourselves sitting around and we had extra money, I would certainly be in favor of rolling back some of those fees or property taxes.
Yes. Well, and I think where the school board got hit is by state law, they're only allowed to charge so much.
Yep.
Yeah, they're only allowed to charge so much. So the impact fee was part of what they were allowed to charge. So when the sales tax dropped on top of that, those two numbers exceeded what they were allowed to charge.
Well, and back to your point, I don't think anybody saw what the housing market was going to do these last couple of years. Right. And so for them, they're like, we had to do something because we have to build schools.
Yep.
Because even before the influx of people that came, we were still, you know, you heard it yesterday. There's portables everywhere. Even though back when I was in high school in the 90s, we had portables.
Listen, Fresh Prince.
I know. Exactly. So
I've never been to an elementary, middle school or high school. I've lived in Florida all my life.
That didn't have portables. So I think we've always had portables for public schools to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understand that. But I think the sales tax for the schools, they had to do something because you're not getting that 15% every year. So they're like, okay. And it's smart that there's a statute that says, hey, if you get too much, you got to give it back to the people.
Well, and that's why I was just curious if that same thing applies to the sales tax or it doesn't. And I would just be kind of curious to see what that would do. Because in the school board's case, right, it was not all of it went to them. Some of it, again, they had to roll back some. So I'll just be curious if there's any provisions in that for roads or anything. And it may be completely different on the county level just because it's viewed differently than a taxing authority of the school district.
Well, I know this. We are charging the maximum allowed by law on residential development in terms of our impact fees.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard people come before us and they say, well, if you just raise the impact fees on development, you wouldn't have to propose a sales tax. And obviously we're charging the statutory maximum on residential impact fees. we see what it does to the price of houses in St. John's County. So if the sales tax does in fact pass, and I'm not sure if that is a statute that we have to adhere to with the sales tax. But again, I would, even if it weren't something that we had to do, I'd be a proponent of rolling it back.
Well, and the county has a progressive, for lack of a better word, progressive impact fee. The bigger your house is, the more money that you pay.
Right.
So part of that, I believe, was an effort to try to help low income and workforce housing. And the other part is just, you're like, well, the bigger the house, the more the impact. As somebody in the building trade, I get it. But if you have an 1,800 square foot house and you have eight people living in it.
Right.
And you have a 5,000 square foot house and you have two people living in it.
Right. The people that have eight, it's more impact. It's more trash, impact, more
right?
everything.
It's more of, right. It's just, right. It's the number of people living in the home. How you quantify that is right. impossible.
No, that's right. Right. I agree. It's just,
you can have a 5,000 square foot house and it's multi-generational and you have 12 people living in it, right?
Right.
It's just impossible to try to figure that out. And so I don't know. I don't think there's ever a fair system in how you allocate that, right? I wish that there was. And then we have locals that are like, well, I've lived here my whole life and I'm building a new house and now I got to pay the impact fee.
Right.
And so that's an interesting. And I think commercially, I would have said prior to the last two or three years, the impact fees on the commercial side were too high, right? But with the amount of growth that's out there now, they're probably about right
where they need to be.
And where the impact fees to me have hurt has been the small mom and pops, right? And it's not just the impact fee. It's the cost of going from, I want to buy a piece of property, which is tough now, right? To, I want to get a permit. So the amount of money that people spend on the civil engineering side and the surveys and the water management permits and all of that, we have to have that as a builder before we can tell a small commercial enterprise, yeah, you can build your 5,000 square foot office warehouse. Well, how much does that cost? Well, it used to cost 10 grand, right? Now it's 30 or 40 grand.
Right.
Wow. And someone's going, okay, I got to come out of pocket 40 grand before you can tell me what it costs. And that was before we went through the current inflationary period, right?
Yeah.
Where we're like, yeah, well, by the time we get there, we have no idea. So to me, the impact has been we've lost some of the smaller mom and pop stores. The Publixes are going crazy, right? They're building. You're going to have a Costco come in. It doesn't stop those big giant companies.
It doesn't.
Because I've said for years, no matter what you charge, they paid a California impact fee.
They do.
They paid a California impact fee. You could quadruple, right? You could 10 times our current impact fee.
And
they would roll in and go, not California. Here you go, right? I mean, not California. We're good. Not Maryland. Not wherever. I mean, right. So some of those bigger corporations, they don't notice it, right? It's that smaller mom and pop that I think that we hit the hardest with those rules, regulations. They're all needed, but it just, that's the impact that it hits.
Well, and this is where government needs to be more flexible and institute some common sense. Obviously you create ordinances, regulations, statutes for the big guys, because they're the ones who are doing the most business. And as usual, the mom and pops, small business owners, I mean, this is very personal to me in the line of work that I'm in. We end up, holding the bag. And mm-hmm. and obviously we can't afford to do what the Publixes of the world can do. And I love Publix.
Yep.
Big Pub Sub fan, but I'm just saying, the guy who's opening up Bob's Sandwich Shop, who's got a dream to make great sandwiches for the people of St. Augustine, he can't afford to do what Publix does.
Mm-mm. No, that's right.
No. I think that's the part of it that I see the most. So, all right, we got to wrap up. We have run out of time. Clay has put the big you have to wrap up sign.
<That's right>.
So, Christian, thanks for coming on. Please come back anytime. If you've got something you want to talk about or something that's before the commission, we'd love to have you on. We're right around the corner, so stop by and see us. And Dylan, next Wednesday, Henry Dean?
It's either that or snuffle up against one or the other. I might bring the shirt.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me on. Yep. Appreciate it.
All right, this is St. Augustine This Evening, and we'll be back tomorrow.